This is Chris Keysport from Your Guitar, hanging out downtown Nashville with my friend Mark Morton. Mark, how you doing?
What's up, man?
Good to see you. I use that word liberally. We met twice, but hey, we got to hang out.
We're friends already.
We got to hang at the Gibson Garage on the release of your signature Les Paul.
Yeah.
So let's start there.
We got a bunch, man. So this is the boat. This is what we're using on the tour right now. And as you can see, we got a line of them. This would be the main one for drop D.
Nice.
A nice example.
Yeah.
You know, we went over all the specs on the other
bit. Yeah, but might as well fill in the fans real quick.
Yeah, sure.
The highlights.
It's based on the Gibson Les Paul Modern platform. It's got the cool satin quilt top. It's got some really Jim DeCola design pickups that you can right now only get in this guitar.
That's rad.
Slim taper neck, locking tuners, and we're using them stock, you know, as they come, you know, right from the stage and everything.
Now, I think there's, based on the Modern, there's a lot more access on the heel, too.
Yeah. So it's got this carve in the back. Yep. So if you want to get up there and shred a little bit, you kind of don't have to navigate that big, you know, traditional square heel that the Les Paul has.
And then the DeCola humbuckers, didn't they originally, you guys work together and put something in one of your old guitars?
Yeah. I mean, we went through all kinds of different protos for it to arrive. Yeah. I mean, he's just the master.
Yeah, you know he's great.
Yeah.
Did you give him any feedback or any direction?
Yeah, for sure.
What was some of the directions you gave him?
Well, it was really about trying to find the balance of like having the low end response on the rhythm stuff and still having enough cut and sustain on the top.
Mm-hmm.
Enough gain, but not too much gain. You know, just a lot of balancing and tweaking and finding, you know, something that feels, you know, overdriven and correct for a heavy metal application.
Yeah.
But still practical enough to not be like untamable.
Yeah.
Know? Yeah.
No, you guys have been doing this for so long, and I'm sure your ears changed and what your tastes have changed. So what do you think is your biggest when it comes to like what you want out of the band? What you're, you know, just tracking Into Oblivion as a record that just came out this year. What are some of the biggest changes sonically that your rig has seen? Obviously, we'll get to the Mesa Boogies.
You know, it's different every time. We use similar gear, but it's really just trying to find the character of the record. And these are all sort of abstract ideas, but the character of the record and making the guitar sit in such a way that they feel integrated, but you can also push them and feature them and highlight them, and they don't feel like they're standing alone. So it can kind of sit on the track and in the track comfortably, depending on how you want to use it.
How does that change going from a studio application to the stage?
You know, I don't try to mimic the studio at all on stage. I mean, I do use similar gear.
Yeah.
But the studio is just its own wonderland. You can do whatever you want. And I like to take full advantage of that without wondering or worrying how I'm going to recreate it on stage.
What are some of the things that you want to accentuate on stage, that whether it's an EQ change or anything in your rig that you might change that better sits in a room versus, like you said, a microscope of the studio?
Yeah, I feel like live, particularly in a room like this big, huge, you know, arena, the more simple your tone, the less dependent on a bunch of different features your tone is, the better it's going to translate.
Okay.
It's just a big, huge ceiling, and the seats are way back, and you just kind of want straightforward, like, simple ingredients. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Starting with the humbuckers and going into, you know, the Les Paul into the Les Paul.
A Les Paul into a tube amp, you know what I mean? It's pretty proven combo.
Right on. Well, I know that you got a quilted. Your tech, James, who's hanging out with us, he showed me you had, like, a proto that had a flame.
Yeah. James, you want to show off some of the guitars, man?
Yeah, yeah.
You can navigate the boat a little easier than me.
So, saw that one. Here is one that we have tuned in the C-sharp that is also a quilt.
Wow.
This is the one that he played on the Black Sabbath show.
Oh, cool.
So, it's got a sweet, sweet quilt top on it.
Mark, what was that experience like?
Oh, man. I mean, it was an honor.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's. I don't know how else to describe it, just to be a part of something like that. Yeah. It felt historic, you know, and so to be invited and be a part of it was really special.
Yeah, watching it on YouTube, it felt, even for me as a fan, just tuning in, it felt historic.
You know, I haven't even watched it.
Really?
I haven't even watched it.
Yeah. Well, you got to see it in person.
I will, yeah, but that's wild. You mentioning that, I was thinking, you know, I haven't really sat and watched, like, it.
Yeah. Do you ever watch your actual Lamb of God performances?
Sometimes I'll go back and watch really old stuff.
Yeah.
Just to, like, say hi to that kid.
Yeah. Well, James, you want to keep cooking down this lineup here?
Yeah, what do you got? Okay, here's the flame top.
Oh, yeah. Mark, what made you go flame versus quilted?
So this is a proto. So when we were first designing the signature model, we were trying on different ideas. And so we were, I don't think Cesar would mind me saying, him and I were just sort of in a dialogue about quilt versus flame. It was a tough decision, really, because this thing looks smoking. Yeah. That's a proto. I use it on stage. Why not play it? It's cool.
Yeah.
It's one of one.
Yeah, it's going to be valuable.
Right?
We use this for the lower drop C tuning, so it holds really well. Actually, all these guitars hold really well in the lower tunings that we've been using.
They're super stable, yeah.
And then, James, what strings are you using for Mark?
Mark has a signature line with StringJoy.
Oh, yeah.
So
local here?
Nashville company, that's right. It's a 50 to a 9.5.
Okay, why the 9.5?
You know, it's just about string tension. I like a little bit looser string tension, and it's still enough meat there to be tonal.
Yeah.
But I can move it around a little easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else? Like, so, in a night, how many guitars is he using?
He's only using 3 guitars.
Okay. And the rest are just
eye candy. We have backups. And then redundancy, we have backups of backups.
Yeah.
So
gotcha.
It's funny, too, because under the lights and stuff, like, I mean, each of these guitars has a different name and a different, like, you know what I mean? Like, but I won't know which one I'm playing at any given point in time.
Can I see I see some double creams back here.
Let's see what
I'm sorry, the zebras. That's sick.
Yeah, so that's an RO. That's a 2022 Custom Shop 60.
Man.
That one's been a lot of stage time on that one.
Yeah. Right?
So we got the Sig model, but we still play cool Les Pauls, you know? We got this red made-to-measure quilt top.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of Les Pauls. We love them.
Yeah. I mean, this is the city, you know, makes them, so hell yeah.
Here we are.
We just have the two That's standards.
Cool. Yeah, these are Gibson USAs. These are generally used as backups. I've used them some on fly gigs and stuff, too. So these are just off the rack Gibson USAs.
It's like a peach burst.
Yeah. So the light burst on that, yeah.
And the last one here.
It's another burst.
Yeah.
Now, I know on the new record, Josh convinced you to do some dive bombs.
Yeah.
I don't see any dive bombs, but I see Parasocial in here.
Back to my theory. Setlist. I have no ambition to recreate the studio on stage.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just kind of, you'll see tonight. I'm just going to go for it.
So, tunings, just real quick, so everyone knows at home, looks like C sharp, D, and then C.
Yeah, so drop D standard, drop C sharp standard, drop C standard.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then 9.5 to 52 on all of them?
No.
We do a 10 to 52 on the C sharp, and then was it a 12 to 54?
12 to 54 on the C, drop C. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Before we move to amps, I got to ask. I peeked at the set list. I see a couple on here that don't get played that much. Grace.
Yeah.
From Wrath.
Yeah.
And then Blood Junkie.
Yeah.
From Palaces. How do you, you know, dust those off and kind of get your fingers back into there?
You rehearse, man.
Yeah.
You rehearse before rehearsal.
Yeah. Do you get with Willie and kind of relearn the jams?
Well, we do it individually on our own, and then we kind of come to the jam spot and run through the stuff. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Let's keep cooking.
Cool.
And right here's the rack that we're talking about. I'll step out of the way.
Yeah.
Boogie.
Boogies. Yeah, for sure. So we've got a blend of the Mark IV, old school Mark IV, and the Badlander. They pair really well together. I think primarily up front, our sound guy really likes the Mark IV. And on stage, I've got the rectifier mostly. I think the Mark IV is coming through my wedges.
Okay.
But my cabinets are the rectifier. And then we use this, the Neural for channel switching, and it's just kind of like if there's bad power or something like that, we have it on hand for like a backup. We really haven't had to use it as an amp.
No.
Just channel switching.
So no secrets in there, because people want to know.
No, I know. Everyone's like, I'm always like, use real amps. This is a, you know, it's a channel switcher and a great backup. And it's great stuff, man. I'm just an amp guy. I'm a tube guy, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, we had talked about it at the garage, noise gates. Do you have them, and where are they located?
James will tell you, it's an ongoing dialogue.
there's a fine balance for the noise gate.
What are we doing tonight?
So on stage, he does not have a noise gate.
Okay.
So everything you see on stage, I've cleaned everything up, leave it open. I run a very slight noise gate to the Mark IV to take care of any hiss between songs, pretty much. And that's it. It chokes everything out. We don't like it.
Yeah.
And I try to keep it as light as possible with a gate.
Got it.
It's so. Kind of a flex. The less gate we can use, we feel like it's a flex.
Yeah.
If we can have a quiet, stable amp and no noise gate, we feel like we're on something.
Yeah, and I had kind of mentioned before we started rolling is that when we did a rundown, man, I want to say 15 years ago in Iowa, in Des Moines, I can't say it's this amp, but I for sure it was a Mark IV that you had in the rig. I think you had a few of them.
Yeah, I've got a number of them. It could have possibly been this one.
What did you like about the Badlander now that that's in the equation? Because I think at one point you had Royal Atlantics.
You're kind
of just going through all the Basie, Boogie lineup. And
you're here. To me, the Badlander has my favorite low-end response of any Boogie amp.
Okay.
I love the Mark IV. I've been on them forever. But I think the Badlander has a superior low-end than the Mark IV, and the Mark IV really has this just top-tier mid response. So those two things put together are really a cool match.
And you guys can jump in here either way. Is like, how is the Badlander getting run? Is that, you said, in front of house, but you got a 412, it looks like, here on cab for yourself, for monitor?
Yep. There's just my stage sound are the two cabinets, and then there's a 212 wedge up front, and that's it's basically another cabinet.
Okay.
Yeah.
And a vintage 30s or anything specific for speakers?
It's V30s.
Yes. Yeah, okay.
And then also with the ISO cab behind us here?
Also 212 with V30s.
Okay. Right on. And I see a wall up on stage. So that's just there for whenever you want to
get... For wah-ing.
Yeah. Wah-wah.
I wah with the wah. Yeah.
Now what do we got for pedals, if you don't mind?
Yeah.
Pull these out.
James likes to dance on that carbon copy tap delay.
Mm-hmm. Probably for like intro grace.
I run a short delay on his solos just to give it some a little more room to it. I boost the OD just a hair to give some more push. And then for, was it the intro to Memento? Or not, the bridge to Memento, I'll run the chorus and the carbon copy.
Yeah, because you don't really do any modulation in real time while recording, right? You kind of do it all post.
Yeah, I like to me and Josh, our producer, we kind of like anything we print, we like to have real just kind of like basic so that we can play with all the kind of effect stuff after in mix, you know what I mean?
And how do you have is the effects all together running into the amp, or is the max on the one that's in front and everything else?
So how it's set up and run right now is we have the wireless is running to the noise suppressor, which that's there just in case I need it. We never really use it.
The NS2, you're saying?
Yeah, the NS2.
The decimator?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then that'll run up to the wah, back down through to the Maxon, then to the core, the MXR chorus, to the carbon copy, and then split to the amps.
Okay. And how are you, I mean, obviously, here I can get a picture of it on the overdrive. What's the philosophy of having the Maxon hit the amps? Is it just to shape the tone, to push them harder, or what are you trying to do, Mark?
It does two things. It tightens up the low end gain response. Mm-hmm. So it keeps anything that's kind of saggy or boggy, like having the gain rolled all the way down on it, but still hitting the overdrive, just kind of sucks that up tight.
Okay.
And then it gives you on single note stuff, just a little extra sustain, a little extra push, kind of a line boost type thing.
Yeah. Have you messed around with the different versions? Obviously the Maxon is a copy of a TS-08, 808, and then different things that they got going on.
Yeah.
For drives. I know maybe one point, if I remember, you had a GTOD. That might have been, again, when the 2011 rundown MXR. So how did you land on this specific Maxon?
I think we were using one of these in the studio for something, and it just kind of, like, kept going type thing. Green overdrives tend to sound like green overdrives.
Yeah. Color coding, man.
Yeah, they make it easy for you.
Yeah. Now, how long have you been running wireless, and was it ever, I don't want to say a concern, but was it ever a worry for tone suck or anything that kind of comes with wireless versus cables?
No, for the longest time, I thought, because I was using a specific wireless system that actually kind of compressed the DI a little bit, and I missed it when it was gone. It was like, it had this weird compressed DI that when it hit the amp, it just had a different state, just kind of a different gain reaction. And so when I would use a different kind of wireless or use a cable, I would miss it. I would notice it in the response.
Huh.
That system's a little outdated, so we've since changed and kind of compensated for that in other ways. So,
okay.
I've never really had any. I mean, obviously, in festival situations, you hope everyone's keeping their packs off so they're not competing with you and that kind of thing. But
yeah.
I don't have much problem with wireless.
Yeah, it sounds similar to, you know, what Mutt, and I guess the story, the lore of AC/DC.
The AC/DC thing, yeah, the Schaefer, yeah.
Yeah, just kind of like a weird...
Some weird voodoo that happens.
Yeah, because you wouldn't think that's going to color the tone, but
right,
it did.
Right,
enough where, you know...
Where you can feel it. I think those are the kind of things where the player can feel more than anybody can actually hear it.
Yeah, and I'm sure a lot of what you're using this all for, guitars, amps, pedals, is for you to feel like you want it to versus...
I'm trying to get the guitar to do what I'm asking it to do.
What are you asking it to do?
You know, be easy to play as easy as possible. Not create any more extra challenges for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, right on, Mark. I know you got a lot going on, and I really appreciate your time.
Hey, man. Thanks, James. Thanks for the coverage and,
yeah, of course,
and all the support. Yeah.
I'm just glad that Mark Morton was like, yeah, we'll do this.
We'll do it. We did
James,
it.
James, thank you for helping out.
Thank you.
You guys stay safe and keep rocking.